Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
This is the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. We are glad to be back with you. Hopefully you have enjoyed the offseason. We're here to fill a little of that time for you. Between now and the start of the NFL draft, we will cover all 32 teams in the National Football League, and we'll talk about what happened to them in the offseason. When did we see them last? What have they added? What have they lost? What are the fantasy impacts for those players? What's going on with the draft? What are these players and teams looking to do? How will things change heading into the draft and heading into the 2015 season? We got to let you know that MLB season starts next week. FanDuel is changing the way people play fantasy baseball. It's more fun than ever. Don't miss your chance to join before the season kicks off. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today, win tonight. Pick a brand new team any day you want. No season-long commitment, no upfront fees. Make every game exciting with FanDuel. You guys both played. I played fantasy sports during the basketball season, still going on now, and certainly during the football season. And I think that's the nice thing. You know, we are looking down the road, but if you're playing fantasy baseball, you're playing tonight, you could turn that into winnings immediately.
Yeah, do you have a matchup you feel particularly good about, whether it's for a pitcher against somebody or a group of hitters against a certain pitcher? You stack those guys. It's a really fun way to play. I tell you what, you can go anywhere, discuss strategies, develop your own strategies. It's a really cool way to do it. And Matt, maybe you want to play once every 2 weeks. You can do that on FanDuel. Maybe you want to play 10 times in a night. You can do that on FanDuel. So it's just, it runs the gamut. I love playing, and I can't wait for it to start up.
Eric Hafner from California turned a $125 deposit into over $62,000 playing fantasy sports on FanDuel. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU, G-U-R-U, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. Every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Well, guys, we're going to work backwards here, as you know, here joining the podcast. And we'll first talk about the reigning Super Bowl champions, the New England Patriots. And as we'll do these podcasts as they come out between now, here we are at the end of start of April, I should say, and going up to the draft. We'll work our way up the draft order, and obviously where there are trades that have been worked out, we'll hit those teams that are no longer picking in the first round. There's a couple of those in 2015. But guys, last time we saw the Patriots, they were the Super Bowl champions, a hell of a game. But now they look a little different, and I think we got to talk about some of the key losses here. And I think the reason that they kind of went over the top in 2014 and obviously winning the Super Bowl in 2015 were the additions that they made on defense. Well, those big additions that they made are already gone. We talk about the cornerback position, both Darrell Revis and Brandon Browner, both out of New England now, and I think it takes the team a step back. Also, at the running back position, Shane Vereen is now a New York Giant. Stephen Ridley remains a free agent as we record this today. They have added Travarius Cadet from the New Orleans Saints. They've also added Brandon Gibson as well. So in terms of offense, I don't think a lot's going to change here, but I think their big losses on defense, that could be a problem for them going into 2015, barring something changing between now and the start of the season.
Well, don't forget about Vince Wilfork either. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are centerpieces of this Patriot team that are gone. Now, you look at the New England Patriots, and you look at two players, and that's who drives the car. And look, we're a fantasy site. Of course, we're going to focus more on offense, but Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski are the two guys who make this go. And Bill Belichick is of the opinion that as long as he has Brady, even if he doesn't have Gronk, he's going to have a shot to win a Super Bowl. And he's probably right. Look at last year. Brady got off to the slow start, and then once Gronk picked things up, they really became a juggernaut again. And we are looking at a team, though, usually after a Super Bowl championship, I don't know if you have this many questions about a team, but you do have to ask questions about the Patriots, and it's going to be interesting when we get to their draft needs, because I could see them going anywhere with their draft picks.
Is Gronk the most dominant receiver in the game right now? We used to have Calvin Johnson, you know, Jimmy Graham. Now is Gronk that guy now? We saw Tom Brady. He really struggled for the first 4 weeks of the season last year until Gronk started getting it going. And then that passing game took off. The rest of the offense took off. So I think he's that type of player right now, and he's probably looking like a first-round pick at this point.
Yeah, and it's interesting when you look at their roster, as we said, not a lot of changes here. Major, major changes here. I think the offense is going to look pretty similar. But as Tom, you're saying here, Gronkowski is clearly their guy. And you know, with the struggles they had early in the season, and we kind of somewhat wrote them off, let's be honest here.
That Kansas City game, it was looking bleak.
It was bad. I mean, Brady was barely a usable fantasy guy. And I think to defend that process that we were kind of going through was this went back to the 2013 season where he wasn't that good. He was a number 20 fantasy quarterback, and then we get the slow start to 2014 and you're going, where the hell are these guys? What's happening? Gronk was coming along, but you wonder, was LaFell starting to catch up? He became a fantasy relevant guy. Edelman had another fine season. Nobody else really stepped up in a big way, and their ground game, this was a team that in 2013 was all about running the football. They didn't bring Blunt back till later on in the season. Ridley tears his ACL. You have guys like Jonas Gray in the mix. We barely saw any of James White, the rookie, some of Brandon Bolden here and there, but this was a different offense, and we've seen Belichick do this over and over and over again, and obviously Josh McDaniels being there helps now, but we've seen them change their offensive philosophy from season to season, even in season. I don't think we saw that. I think it was more of Gronk getting healthier, everybody kind of gelling, and obviously they became very good. But part of that, getting back to the defense, is you didn't have to rely on the offense as much because they had maybe one of the better defenses of the Tom Brady era. So as you look forward to 2015 here, is there a lot
more shootouts this year for the Patriot offense?
I think with the secondary now, you have not made any key additions to replace two very good cornerbacks.
You look at that division. They got Brandon Marshall.
That's the thing.
They got Percy Harvin. They got some better receivers in that division.
Doesn't it seem like everybody else has at least taken a step forward, where the Patriots have kind of stayed, if maybe not stayed, to take a step back?
Every year we look for somebody who's going to unseat the Patriots. I'll believe it when I see it.
Right.
Number one, back to Tom's point about Rob Gronkowski, I think you can make the argument the guy is the single most valuable keeper asset in all of fantasy football. There is nobody even close at the tight end position, and his closest competition, Julius Thomas and Jimmy Graham, you can argue, both took steps back this offseason. Julius Thomas definitely did. Now, I don't think Jacksonville is going to be terrible, but Julius Thomas going from Peyton Manning to Blake Bortles is a downgrade any way you slice it. Jimmy Graham, I actually am pretty comfortable with him, and we'll discuss him when we get to Seattle, but those two guys took a step back. I think if I have Gronk in a dynasty league, there might be 2, 3, maybe 4 receivers I would take over him. But that's about it. I wouldn't take a back over him. I don't know if I would. That certainly wouldn't take a quarterback over him. The guy is the most dominant player at his position in the NFL. There's the biggest fantasy gap between him and the next guy. And Rob Gronkowski, guys, as we sit here right now, I don't know how you can say he's not a top 5 or 6 fantasy pick. He's got to be, because nobody else is close.
My question be with that is, you know, you look at, you mentioned Graham, you mentioned Julius Thomas in terms of steps back. Not only in season they take steps back, but did they take serious steps back with their new teams? And where does that put Gronk? He is a number one guy. Is it worth it? Is he a risk to take in the first round? Or do you get that much of an advantage taking him as your number one, as the number one tight end, that, you know, when you look at your lineups every week, you go, I have that position
one.
I have that position one every single week. And not, well, I have Travis Kelce over Larry Donnell one. No, I have Rob Gronkowski over anybody else, whether that's Graham, Thomas, or a lower-end guy, is it worth it to still take him in the first round if you have injury concerns, if there's other running backs you might want to grab, a receiver? Do you want to be that guy? Do you think it gives your team enough of an advantage to use a first-round pick on him? Let's say, where are you picking him? At 9, 8, 9 in that area, maybe?
Let me ask you this question. If you had Jordy Nelson in October, would you think you had a number one receiver?
I would say yes.
If you had Julio Jones in November, would you think you have a number one receiver?
Yes.
All right, from the end of September through the end of the season, Gronkowski averaged 20.1 fantasy points per game in a PPR, more than Jordy Nelson and Julio Jones. He would have been number six at wide receiver over that span. Now you're like, ooh, number six. I don't know if I could take him there. But then you compare him to what Graham and Julius were doing on better offenses than they're going to. It's not close. It's really not close. Yeah, I would take Gronk in the first round. Do you have to draft creatively the rest of the way? I think so. But the running back and wide receiver positions give you the opportunity to draft creatively. We already know about quarterback. I don't think that position's taken a step back for fantasy.
No.
So you know you can wait on that position. And I think running back and receiver, you can be creative as long as you're aggressive working the waiver wire. Gronk is a slam dunk first round.
And there's no reason, I would say, to be down on Tom Brady. We were down on him coming into 2014, even 2013. We talked about this. And he got off to the slow start. But after that game, the one we all know about against the Chiefs, he was the number four quarterback from week 5 through week 16, 25.7 fantasy points per game in those 11 games, ahead of Peyton Manning, still playing at a high level. Just 6 games all season, he failed to hit 20 fantasy points, and 4 of them came in September. So there was no concern about Brady, and as I said with the offense, nothing has significantly changed for Brady. Do you have, I mean, slight
concern? Does he get upgraded this year? Because, you know,
compared to where he was last year?
Actually, this is a year he has some continuity.
Yes.
You know, he doesn't have to work in LaFell. Edelman's been there 2 years. He was kind of was it Amendola or Edelman 2 years ago? And now you have Gronk. He has 3 guys that have all been there. He's got some continuity. And like we said, they could be in some more shootouts this year. You know, Brady's a guy. He's not going to be sexy. But as a 5th, 6th, 7th rounder, he's going
to
be
solid. I'm not
running
up to go take him early, right? I don't think we're going to put him in that upper echelon.
I think a lot of people
think you have to.
Some drafts he still does go early because he's Tom Brady.
But and other drafts he doesn't because everybody's had him. Everybody has had Tom Brady at some point in their fantasy
careers.
And you
look at who he's throwing to.
He's not sexy at this point.
You know, and 40 lashes with the wet spaghetti for the way we treated Tom Brady last year. But as you mentioned earlier in the podcast, it was a completely valid thing to feel down on Tom Brady as a fantasy asset. He wasn't good in 2013, and he wasn't good in the first month of 2014.
Gronk was still hurt.
Right.
No ex-receiver. LaFell wasn't doing anything.
It was fair to wonder at that point if Gronk was even going to be the same last year because of the seriousness of the injury that he suffered against Cleveland in 2013.
And it was valid because he wasn't the same for the first 4 weeks.
But Brady, as John Boyce from SB Nation says, you cannot count out touchdown Tom.
That was our biggest mistake.
He proved us wrong yet again. Look, if Brady's going in the middle rounds, yeah, I'll take him.
All right, now let's talk about the backfield here. As I mentioned earlier, they add Travarius Cadet. Didn't
Headache
see
Headache City.
Yeah, it still is. I mean, that's what you look at in this backfield. Vereen has signed with the Giants. Cadet theoretically fits that role. There's your new guy there. Blunt came back to the team after getting cut by the Steelers and kind of resumed his role. He is still around there. You remember Jonas Gray, that one game? You remember that game in Week 11? Yes, I think the Patriots said the same.
Biggest example of Bill Belichick not giving a crap about your fantasy team, it's Jonas Gray. And people always are going to say, I will never take a Patriot running back early. That's one of those where I'm like, you know what? Just don't.
I'm not taking one at all, probably. I mean, at this point, I'll go pick that guy up, whoever it's going to be in week 7.
It's such a mess. 2 guys we didn't even see this year couldn't end up leading the backfield, James White and Tyler Gaffney. Are you guys going to be surprised if James White and Tyler Gaffney are the lead,
remember,
one of those guys?
We were kind of keeping an eye on James White, and then they bring Jonas Gray up from the practice squad. He has that game against the Colts in Week 11.
Was an interesting one. He was taken by the Panthers. He suffered a knee injury right away.
They tried to stash him away.
They tried to stash him. The Patriots like, oh, we're taking him. We're going to use him next year.
Well, the Patriots, they saw Gaffney, and they obviously liked the things that he could do. And he's a guy you have to keep an eye on, and I think he's probably more going to be annoying than anything else. Now, the question here is, do they replace Shane Vereen? But
did they do that? And did they do that already?
With Cadet? Yeah, it's possible. Maybe they draft
somebody. Or maybe they think they can use White in that fashion and use Gaffney.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my.
Here's the problem with Vereen. He was the one guy in this backfield who had a clear role last year. The one guy. Early in the year, we thought Ridley and Vereen did, but then Ridley got hurt really early in the season. But anyway, Vereen was the one guy who had that role. He's the receiver. He wasn't a great fantasy back at all.
No.
And this was a guy who, when he was healthy in 2013, was a dominant PPR back. He was borderline number one PPR running back when he was healthy.
And is that because Gronk started to get back to where he was? You know, because Gronk missed a lot of that, the end of that 2013 season. Maybe that's why Vereen had more value at the end of that season. So
Travers Cadet, he comes in, maybe he plays the Vereen role. Very quietly, I believe, was a top 20 catch guy at the running back position in New Orleans last year. But what does that mean?
But what my thing is, if you're looking at the Patriot running backs now, can you look at any of these guys? If you find the guy, is he anything more than number three?
Listen to this. Shane Vereen was fifth among running backs in receptions. Fifth with 53. I mean, if you were to say, oh, Travers Cadet's going to be fifth among running backs in receptions. Oh, yeah. Come on, baby. Shane Vereen had 7 games of 10 or more fantasy points in PPR. He had 2 games when he went over 100 yards from scrimmage. And yeah, I know he kicked the Seahawks' ass in the Super Bowl, but it's just an example of what Belichick does. He's going to rotate his guys. Don't be shocked if they draft a back. Maybe Bill Belichick's like, you know what? We need so much on this team, but I still have Tom Brady. I'm going to take Melvin Gordon in the first round. He might do that.
I don't see them taking a back
early. I don't either, but
who knows?
Before we get into the draft stuff, in terms of you look at the receivers heading into 2015, their top 2 players in 2014 at wide receiver were Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell. Clearly, LaFell, the best we've ever seen out of him. The number 26 wide receiver at 13.3 fantasy points per game in a PPR. A career year, 74 catches, 953 yards, 7 touchdowns, 118 targets, nearly a 63% catch rate, played every game. Shoulder injury did bother him for some time, but you know he was still really, really good. And when you look at where Edelman, 92 catches, 972 yards, 4 touchdowns on 131 targets, caught 70% of his targets coming his way. But once again, number 16 in a PPR, 16 fantasy points per game, 14 games, at least 5 catches in 11 of those 14 games. These were the top 2 guys. I kind of see similar numbers for them. I don't see a lot changing here. I don't see Amendola stepping up. Aaron Dobson's a ghost. They added Brandon Gibson. I guess he could see the field a little bit more. Does it make somebody else expendable? I don't see a lot changing here because why mess with what works? And we'll get into the draft in a little bit, but as it stands right now, I don't see a lot of difference in these guys there. Edelman's a probably really good number 2 in a PPR. I don't think that's going to change. And I think LaFell's going to be a nice guy to have. Maybe if you have a big-time number 1 receiver, then maybe a Gronk or somebody like that, that if he's your 2, you're very happy with that.
You know, I'm really upset with myself. In our FantasyGuru.com Dynasty League, I drafted Brandon LaFell. I bought into our guy Greg Cosell was really high on him in this offense, saying, you know, he's played with a guy who, frankly, is an inaccurate passer, an inconsistent passer in Cam Newton. I think he thought Brandon LaFell was going to come in and have a really good year. So what did LaFell do, guys, in week 1? I don't know if you remember. No catches on 6 targets. And I'm like, he's a bum. He's a bum. And I just dropped the guy like a bad habit. After week 1, 15.2 fantasy points per game in a PPR. Basically equal with Julian Edelman on that span. So Julian Edelman and Brandon LaFell just kind of rotated. Julian Edelman was more of the catch guy. LaFell did a little bit more downfield than in the red zone. If they don't add a receiver, and as we mentioned, I could see them drafting any position. Any position. I'd be surprised if they drafted a quarterback after they took Garoppolo last year. But any position, Belichick's going to come out here and tell you, hey, we're going to add depth to this team. We're going to add some youth to this team. I wouldn't be shocked if they take a receiver or 2 in this draft. But as we stand right now, I think LaFell might be another guy who's kind of flying under the radar.
I think they've been trying to get that vertical receiver for like the last 10 years or so.
There's even a couple before, good ones in this draft.
Even before Randy Moss. So, I mean, do they think that Brian Timms can be that guy that is a vertical guy? Do they wait till later in the draft and look for, I don't know, like the Conley kid from Georgia? You know, they've been trying to find a vertical guy for a long time. That's the one receiver, you know, position I think that they would really look for.
Let's talk about the draft for the Patriots. What do they need to do? What do they need to add? What's defense, a focus? Defense. You guys just completed the pre-draft rookie report at fantasyguru.com. We've talked about kind of Belichick. You almost expect him to mess with you with a backfield kind of guy. Get somebody there, even though they have Vereen. And they have, or so they don't have Vereen anymore. They have Blount. They have Kadet. They have Gray. They have Bolden and White, and who knows, does Ridley end up re-signing in July or something like that? But would it shock you to see them add a piece in the backfield? You just mentioned some of the wide receivers that could be options there. Don't forget, they also added Scott Chandler as well at tight end, probably to steal some touchdowns here and there to drive us nuts. Hopefully not, keys. I know.
One guy that I think a lot of people are having fun mocking to the Patriots is Devin Funchess from Michigan,
yeah,
because he's kind of a move matchup guy. It's amazing how everybody's like, oh, they have to replace Aaron Hernandez. Well, they haven't done it in like 3 years. They tried with Tim Wright, I guess. I don't know what his role is.
6 touchdowns.
I think people are just enamored by Bill Belichick doesn't feel like he has to replace anybody. He'll just do whatever it takes. Now, I could see him going after a guy like Funchess. That seems like
if all of a sudden he starts falling to late in the second round, maybe then he would roll the dice with that type of guy.
He's a matchup nightmare type of guy. And while he doesn't have long speed, he's somebody you can move inside, outside. I think people would love to see him maybe for fantasy land with the Patriots because he is one of the guys we've talked about, really the only guy we've talked about in this draft class who may have that Marcus Colston dual eligibility as a rookie.
Yeah.
People don't really know. Is he a tight end? Is he a receiver?
Right.
And I don't think we're going to know that until where
he lands. It's all going to depend on where he lands. A lot of people see him as Kelvin Benjamin type. Line him up at X and just throw jump balls up to him.
Breshad Perriman is there. And obviously, reportedly ran sub-4.2 at his pro day. I don't really buy that.
Looking for speed.
But it tells you that the guy is a really good athlete. That's what that tells you. You know, nobody plays at 4.19 or whatever it is he apparently ran. But
I never know what Bill Belichick's going to do on draft day. But if I were them, I would think that they would go offensive line, cornerback, secondary,
line
first couple. Yeah.
Is the one.
You need to beef up that offensive line.
You want to talk about a boring pick. Yeah, for our purposes, it's a boring pick. But according to Pro Football Focus, Patriots were one of the 5 worst pass blocking lines in the NFL. Usually, it's a team that likes to have a solid offensive line.
And they like to have a lot of depth, too. And they really got thin this year, starting with even the trade.
Remember, they brought back Devin McCourty almost because maybe they looked at the market, they looked at the draft class and go, the safety class is about as bad as it gets. You have to bring a guy like that back. But as Tom mentioned, as we get into this, defense has to be a key for this team. And I don't think there's any quick fixes when you lose Revis and Browner. There are no quick fixes to that. That made them one of the best defenses in football.
Struggle really often with rookies.
But as we saw, even in the Super Bowl, they have some decent depth at quarterback. You know, not Browners or Revis's, but they like to have depth in the secondary. They like these guys that can play safety, that can play cornerback. So
it's important in the NFL in general to have those kind of guys.
Alphonso Dennard, they signed Bradley Fletcher, who's got some size. It's a good draft for the things the Patriots need.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to see them get a receiver. I think they could get a back. It's a really good edge rusher draft. It's a very good corner draft. As you mentioned, it's a bad safety draft. Well, they went out and re-signed Devin McCourty,
the younger.
So you've got a lot of guys out there who the Patriots will be looking at. They just managed to line up their roster as we stand right now pretty well in regards to what is available in the draft. And I think Belichick could draft absolutely anybody, and you can't be shocked by it. If you look at the offensive line, corner, I think people would tab those as the 2 biggest needs on this roster. They're going to have opportunities to supplement those and really strengthen them in the NFL draft.
So we look back there at the Patriots, look ahead to 2015, as we'll be doing with each and every one of these teams. We have to thank, once again, our sponsor, FanDuel. MLB season does start next week, and they're changing the way people play fantasy baseball. You don't want to miss your chance before the season kicks off. Sign up now and play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leader in fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. The entry fees, they start at just $1. Don't wait 6 months. Don't wait to win a league. You can win money immediately. Pick a brand new team any day you want. You don't have to commit for the whole season. There's no upfront fees. And as we talked about, you know, you play fantasy baseball, you play fantasy basketball, you play fantasy football. If you're in those season-long leagues, and we like being in those, but maybe you want to turn that investment into immediate cash. Hey, I'm watching tonight. I got these guys in my lineup. I'd like to turn that into money. Tom, I know you did that a few times.
Yeah, baseball's the best sport for it. It's every night. There's going to be, you know, 15 games every night. You can turn quick cash. You know, especially if you start falling out of contention with your fantasy.
That's what I like about it. Oh, I'm done. Well, no, you're not done.
In fantasy baseball, they're all about these rotisserie leagues. You fall behind. You know, you're close to last place. You have nothing to play for. So now you have these fantasy, you know, daily fantasy leagues. So
Eric Haff from California turned a $125 deposit to over $62,000 playing fantasy sports at FanDuel. They're paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win. Sign up today. Here's the key stuff. Go to FanDuel.com, click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner, use our code GURU, and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offer is only good for the first people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com, FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we said, this is the first of 32 franchise-focused podcasts we will be doing.
Please come back for the next 31.
Next 31, and they will all be done before the draft. The last podcast will go up the day of the draft. So when they go on the clock, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, if it is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you'll already know everything you need to know heading into the draft as we cover all 32 teams. And maybe you have a question about one of these teams. Maybe you've got a keeper question. It relates to one of these teams or one of these players. We'd love to hear from you. So do this. Use the hashtag franchise focus and tweet your questions on any of these teams, and we'll be putting it up on Twitter as we record these, which teams we'll be talking about on that day. But use the hashtag franchise focus and tweet them to us. You could tweet us at Fantasy Guru Site. You could tweet me at the Matt Camp. Joe, your Twitter for the people?
At FG underscore Dolan, D-O-L-A-N.
And Tom, your Twitter?
At FG underscore Brawley.
B-R-O-L-L-E-Y. That's how you can get your questions to us. We will answer them on the program as we do each one of these podcasts, whether it's maybe a draft question, team needs, stuff we will cover. Maybe, as I said, you have keeper dynasty questions about players pertaining to specific teams. We will answer them on the podcast. Use the hashtag franchise focus and tweet us once again at Fantasy Guru Site, at the Matt Camp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley, and we will answer those on the program. These will all be up by the day of the draft. Day one of the draft, will be jam-packing these in, sometimes two a day. So make sure you stay tuned to us here at FantasyGuru.com. We thank our hosts at Blog Talk Radio. Happy to be back with them once again. And of course, FanDuel.com. Use our code GURU and you can get in on all the fun of the MLB season starting very soon. We're in the off-season of football, but as we know, there is no off-season for fantasy football, so plenty more to come. We appreciate you being with us once again. Don't forget to check out the pre-draft rookie report, also a pre-draft podcast, kind of post-free agency podcast more with John Hansen and Greg Cosell. Check it all out. Lots of content coming your way here in April and in the off-season for us at FantasyGuru.com. So for Tom Brawley and Joe Dolan, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com.